Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, a place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 108. And Dave, the draft is behind us. Have you had a chance to breathe?
Yeah, I have. I breathed a little bit yesterday being Sunday. We had so much, our guys had so much content coming in that gave Alex and I a little bit of time to spend the day on YouTube and trying to dive a little bit deeper into these 8 draft picks that the Steelers selected over the weekend. So, yeah, I didn't get much sleep, of course, last night, but I feel a lot more recharged today. And looking forward to the next 2 or 3 weeks of really getting into, you know, into some deeper analysis of some of these guys they selected.
So let's just very simply ask the question, did you like the Steelers draft?
You know, someone asked me that on Twitter, you know, put a grade on it and all like that. And I'm not ready to do that. I think as a whole, look, what have I been saying since last year? Get me 8 edge rushers. Well, or 7 edge rushers and George Kittle. Well, they ended up getting 2 of them. They ended up, I accepted the fact that there was going to be a quarterback drafted. So getting past that, I like Dobbs being the best of the rest. So I'm fine with that. The deeper I've gotten into Juju's film, you know, the more I like him. James Conner, I was on board with that. You know, if you're going to spend, although, you know, I expected him to be taken maybe a round or two later. I don't know what to add about the long snapper. Alex and I beat that to death pretty much, on the Sunday show. But as a whole, yeah, you know, I'm fine with it. I think the key pick in all of this will be Cameron Sutton and Brian Allen. Boy, if they could get both those two guys to contribute in that secondary, you know, along with obviously T.J. Watt performing up to, first round pick status. Yeah, I think it has a potential to be an okay draft, most definitely.
So here's my take, and, you know, along the same lines, I agree with a lot of what you said. One is I think the draft will be dependent on Smith-Schuster and Sutton because I think Watt's going to be just fine. I think Watt will develop into a very good player, and we'll see with those two guys because if they're able to come in this year and contribute, you know, anywhere close to the level – of what Sean Davis and Javon Hargrave did, then it's going to be great. And I would kind of expect things to be, you know, neither of those guys on first blush has a chance to come in and probably play the snaps that Artie Burns or Sean Davis played. I do expect T.J. Watt to play, you know, be playing half the snaps by the midway point of the season. So, you know, when we talk about what's he going to get on the year, a really early first blush, if you think about kind of, 500-600 snaps, yeah, and that's not including special teams. Obviously, we expect him to be involved in special teams right away. So I don't think outsized expectations for T.J. Watt, but I have expectations with a 39-year-old James Harrison, the chance of injury, Watt. You know, the Steelers being more aggressive now about how they get young guys on the field. I expect him to be involved and be part of this defense, week one. I expect him to get snaps on the field. The other two guys, I don't know. Right now, when I look at Smith-Schuster, he's probably, for me, he is probably going to be fourth on the depth chart pretty quickly behind. Now, when I say depth chart, I'm talking about receiver depth chart, not the positional depth chart. He might be number 2 on the positional depth chart behind Martavis Bryant. Now, is that going to happen tomorrow? Are you going to put him ahead of Darius Heyward-Bey? No. You're going to put him in front of Sammy Coates? Probably no. I don't know exactly how they're going to line up the X and Z receivers. But I expect Smith-Schuster to be a guy when the season starts. If they line up with A.B. and Martavis Bryant and Eli Rogers in the slot, him to maybe be, you know, the next guy on the field. And it'll be interesting early on to watch how much work he gets out of the slot, because long term he may turn out to be a slot receiver, a guy working the middle of the field. And then Cam Sutton, wild card here. What I liked about what Kevin said in his post-draft comments, and, you know, Carnell said this as well, is this is a guy who can mirror receivers. And that tells you something about why the Steelers drafted him. They're looking for guys who can run with guys. And maybe you don't test, you know, perfectly across the board on everything, but if your goal is to basically stick to somebody, you know, that's something that you can see pretty easily on film, whether they have that capability. And that's obviously the number one capability they see in Cam Sutton. So when I look at, you know, he's a wild card. I don't know how to project him in terms of into the Steelers defense. I know some people think, you know, he is very capable of playing inside. I can't tell you whether he's more likely to be inside or outside. I can tell you that I like the fact that potentially he can do both. And, you know, Steeler fans, I know, want an upgrade on Ross Cockrell. We'll see how that goes. You know, they've got a lot of guys now who are going to get an opportunity to be the slot guy. And I still think Cockrell's, you know, far and away most likely to be the starting corner opposite Artie on opening day. But you've got some other guys in here, and clearly this kid is a pretty smart kid as well. I mentioned with Dave, the defensive coordinator for Tennessee, Bob Shoup, is a friend of mine. Went to Yale together, and he just was glowing in his terms of describing this guy's football IQ. Never misaligned, you know, knows what's going on. You know, we've heard all the accolades about how smart Josh Dobbs is. Well, it sounds like Cam Sutton's kind of equally that kind of guy. So, you know, I think those two guys, Smith-Schuster and Sutton, will determine in the short term whether this is a good draft. James Conner, I mean, if you didn't get a chance to see the SportsCenter video, I know Dave has retweeted it. I retweeted it a couple times. I mean, I don't know what to say other than, you know, there's not a better guy on the planet. I mean, I can learn something from James Conner. He is a tremendous human being. And he will be a tremendous human being to have in the Steeler locker room and be part of the organization. As it seems most of these guys are. Really, they want to play football and they're great guys. So the thing about James is I'd say exactly what Dave said. You love having him on your team. I would have waited. If I had to make the pick there, I probably would have picked Perrine from Oklahoma. I probably would have picked Mack from South Florida. I probably would have picked Gallman from Clemson. But we'll see James Conner contribute immediately on special teams. That'll be a different role than what we saw with D'Angelo Williams. And he is not going to be a third down back. He will be a guy who gets a series, you know, once a half if he's in front of Nile Davis, which there's no guarantee of that. And then the rest of it, you know, I think Allen's a real big upside wild card. I expect him to be on the practice squad this year would be my bet from sitting right here. And then the rest of it's kind of, you know, wild cards, crapshoot, you know, see what happens. I would have preferred what we've talked about all year, Dave. It's sequencing it. I would have sequenced it a little different. I would have preferred to see him go corner in the second round, but they had that huge run on corners and defensive backs in that second round in front of them, and they didn't in the third round. So if the value flipped to go wide receiver, so be it. So that's kind of my overall thing. I do think that this year, you know, if we're evaluating a year from now, it'll be Smith-Schuster and Sutton who tell us whether it was good or not.
All right, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers. That was a mouthful, but it was your turn. I mean, Alex and I went through it yesterday, so it was definitely your turn to give your complete entire thoughts on what they did. Let me ask you this: I assume you're going to get Tennessee defensive coordinator on your show here during this next week, right?
I'll hop up on, it'll be short because these types of things, coaches tend to say pretty generic stuff, but with two Tennessee guys, he'll obviously have a good understanding of Josh Dobbs as well. So I'll have him on to get his thoughts on both those guys. Do I expect him to tell us, something we've never heard before, maybe an anecdote or two, but I think it'll be more of the same. They're both really smart guys who like playing football.
Yeah. I would just ask him, the thing I would be interested in asking him is, how much we haven't obviously charted all this yet. How much did Cameron actually play in the slot? Does he feel that he can match up, in that area moving forward there? And another kind of thing with Sutton would be, how does he portray him against the run, as a whole? Now, you probably are, indeed going to get some generic type responses with that. And, would he play him inside or outside? Because he did play. I just got done, David, yesterday, going through all those. The kid was there for 4 years and played a lot of games at Tennessee. So it left a lot of tape to kind of go through. First and foremost, I wanted to try to look at every interception and every pass breakup that he had during his career. And believe it or not, I was able to locate, I think, all but one or two of them over a course of 4 years of playing time, which, of course, he started and played in 45 games. All 45 games that he dressed for, he started and had 37 total passes defensed, of which seven of those were intercepted. So that left 30 other defense passes. Now, he, of course, was hurt a little bit last year, only played in seven games. That probably hurt his draft stock a little bit. 2015, to be quite honest with you, 2014 really was, his best season. Yeah. I don't want to say he played bad, the final 2 years, but I mean, it definitely looked like to be the highlight of him there. Now, when you also talk to, I'm assuming you're going to have the Pitt head coach on too at some point, right?
No, I won't, because Pat's been around forever, and I'm not going to have anybody on to talk about James Conner. That has been managed aggressively.
Yeah. Oh, well, the biggest thing I'd like, and we'll try to dig back through the tape on him, and Alex and I were talking about this on the Sunday show, is, Kevin Colbert said during his press conference that, looks forward to seeing what James Conner can do on special teams. Yeah. And just curious, how much exposure Conner has to kick coverage or punt coverage. That's the biggest question, I think, because, I mean, you're right. Everybody knows James Conner, the person. All of us should have seen plenty of his highlights over the course of the last several years when it comes to him playing running back. Just trying to fill in some of the blanks when it comes to what he might be able to offer on special teams.
Yeah, to that point, and Kevin said this, and this is where I expect to see him on the opening kickoff of the 2018 season. He's going to be on the kick coverage team. And Kevin said, Kevin pointed to, for those who remember, you go back to the bowl game Pitt played up in was it in the Ford Field when they played, Central Michigan or one of the Michigan teams a bunch of years ago, when Conner was still playing defensive end in the second half of that game. He was playing running back and defensive end, and he was getting after the quarterback in that bowl game. And Kevin cited that, saying, those who know, remember, James Conner was a situational rusher, and he would rush the passer. And he said, I am as excited to watch him run down and tackle people as I am, to see him at running back. And I really think this year, being 2017, this is what you're going to see. You're more likely to see James Conner on the field on a game by game basis, because he's going to run down there and be a guy on kick coverage. Now, will he be on punt coverage? Maybe. Maybe here sometime, at some point here, you transition, not suggesting this year, but you transition from Robert Golden as your up back to James Conner. Maybe he becomes that guy because he fits the bill perfectly. He is a physical, rugged guy. He's a smart guy. He also, if you wanted to do something, obviously, he's a running back. So, I don't want to get ahead of myself and talk about that, but that's something I could see in the near future. I don't know if he'll be, you know, I don't know if you would line him up, you know, as a, you know, guard tackle, whatever on the punt units. I don't think he'll be a gunner, but you could have him on the punt coverage units. Then on the return side, no idea. I don't know that he would be on your punt return team. He might be on your kick return team. You know, and again, he might not be where Fitz Toussaint was as the up back. And then you generally have bigger guys, you know, Cam Hayward, Vince William type guys as your guys in front of those kick returners. So, you know, I don't know exactly what the role would be. He would certainly be on the hands team, but that would be my expectation as to where to see him for special teams.
The Steelers normally only like to keep three running backs on their 53-man roster. And if you're a third one and you're dressing, you better play special teams. So it'll be interesting to see. And look, Nile Davis, he certainly has an experience calling card, not only as a running back, but, you know, as a kick returner as well, too. So, you know, both those guys.
Fitz Toussaint's job just got very tenuous.
Yeah, he's going to need a lot of help for sure. But
I think you're right there. You know, I think, you know, you James Conner is going to dress because he's going to be a special teams player. And Nile Davis is going to dress because I think he will be probably to start the season, at least your backup running back and your kick returner. So I think both those guys, they got helmets.
Well, let's look at this class as a whole now. We know that, let's see, Watt, Smith-Schuster, Cameron Sutton, James Conner, Joshua Dobbs are all going to make the 53, right? Or should?
Yep.
Barring injury or, you know, anything else. Someone asked me about Brian Allen this morning. You got an inexperienced guy there, but you got the planet theory working for him as well, right? I mean,
he is unique because you have one of those situations where really he's a long shot to make the 53, and maybe you don't want him to look too good in the exhibition games, the preseason games, because you don't want somebody, you know, you don't want somebody who's maybe just saying, you know, we're not going to be good this year. And we're, you know, we had an injury or two. We'll just stash this guy on our roster for the season. You know, it's like we talk about all the time. Guys get through waivers on that last cut down. And he probably is going to be a candidate to be going through waivers on that last cut down.
Well, here's the thing, too. I mean, you have to look at this thing and says, can this guy help you during his rookie season? And I think it comes down to him, too. I mean, if he can show that he can press these guys and run. I don't know if you saw the post that Alex put up this morning, but you know, you want to talk about this team transitioning, potentially to more cover two man, and having those cornerbacks up on the line of scrimmage and jamming these guys and then running, following them, you know, around the field. If Brian Allen, he's a nice moldable piece of clay to work with, and man, 6'3", 215 pounds, running 4.43. His pro day, he helped himself too by increasing his vertical jump by not just a little. I mean, nearly 4 inches. He bettered his pro day, at the vertical, and his broad jump was better. Short shuttle was better. I'm really like. I mean, fifth rounders usually flip the coin on, right? As far as whether they make the 53. I like his chances, David.
Steelers have had bad luck at that corner position in the fifth round, as we all know.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean,
Let's count some defensive backs. Let's count, because we count the receivers. We'll get through some of these. You know where I've been on this, and I hate to sound like I have an agenda, because I don't obviously have an agenda. But I just think Willie Gay's in trouble now, and I thought he was in trouble with the Sutton pick, and this puts him in bigger trouble. And I think some of Willie Gay's future relies on the fact of, do you think he can play safety? Because there's really not going to be any room at the inn and corner, I don't think. And now, so we got our top two corners, Dave. We got the two starters, right? And just like you said, look, Cam Sutton's making the team, so let's put him third. Okay. So now what do we got left?
Cody Sensabaugh.
So we would think he's, you know, I don't think Justin Hunter's guaranteed to make the team, but I do think Cody Sensabaugh's, you know, kind of 80-90%. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, most definitely. I think Cody was brought in because this team doesn't expect Cinquez Gulson to make it.
Okay. So now that leaves, more or less leaves one spot for Allen, Cinquez Gulson, and Will Gay. Now, this is at the corner. Now, if you think Will Gay can move and will move to safety, that's a whole different conversation. But that's probably fair, right? I mean, they could keep six corners and four safeties. I mean, that's not out of the question because, you know, the two safeties are going to be your starters. We assume Golden's still going to make this team. That's three. You've got Dangerfield around. Is there another one I'm forgetting about?
I think you kind of named and look, Alex made a good argument for this team keeping six cornerbacks yesterday. I could see that happening. As far as safeties go, Sean Davis, obviously, Mike Mitchell, obviously. You would think Robert Golden, you know, is one of those guys that's breathing a little easier.
He had a good day. Yeah, he had a good day Saturday.
Yeah, right now. And say what you will about Jordan Dangerfield. I mean, let's face it, that fourth safety position, a lot of times you want to know, can he play special teams? And Jordan Dangerfield has been able, his calling card, been able to stick around right now has been his ability to play special teams. However, you go back to that game, what was it, against Kansas City last year when Dangerfield had to see the field. He didn't play bad. Now, not playing bad is not a great endorsement in the NFL, but I think he's got another season on him. So let's assume those. I mean, who else is going? Who's going to be a fifth safety right now?
And that's where you get to the question of, you know, is William Gay going to be a hybrid guy? Can he be a hybrid guy? Is that where things are going to go? Because I'm a little surprised that, you know, look, that we'll see what happens in terms of how they line guys up and how they think about things. But right now, you know, I think we named nine guys who were going to make the team, and Allen, Gay, and Golson are three that we didn't put on that list of nine. So if you have 10 defensive backs, which I think is kind of where we've been standing the past couple of years, you get into the question of, you know, Chicolo battling X guy versus for a spot. You know, that's what's going to happen. Keon Adams, he's, you know, battling different guys. The next question I would be asking, you know, Kevin and Mike, I guess, or Carnell is Will Gay a corner or safety? Is he a hybrid? What do you see going forward? And maybe with the nickel, we should almost be delineating nickel as a separate position as well. Slot. As a separate position as well. So Dave, would you bet?
Think about this as well, too. Let's assume, which is dangerous, that you're going to play more cover two this year. And, you know, more man, you know, get up on.
Man under.
Yeah, get more on those guys up underneath with those cornerbacks as well, too. You know, if you were to help, you know, try to work Gay a little bit more at safety, and this is just totally high, you know, I don't know which way they're going to go, hypothetical situation here. You obviously would only want a safety, you know, like Gay working half of a field instead of a full field, you know, playing, you know, if you asked him to play more cover one. Now, obviously, if you're playing more cover three, you know, even less of a field, you know, that you have to cover. But if you're playing, and I guess what I'm saying is, I think Gay has the knowledge and, you know, how much he's worked at safety over the years in practices. I don't know. I mean, we're talking.
I'm with you that he can. He knows what he's doing. Enough to do it,
you know. So I think that gives you the ability there to extend his career by another year here. Smart as the devil, and as I told Alex yesterday, I still wouldn't put it past. I still would not have an issue with William Gay being rolled out there to play special teams. You know, now
well, that was going to be my next question to you. Not can he play, but not kind of is he special teams capable? Is he good enough to be on your special teams?
I don't think, I mean, look, this is a physical guy still, right? I mean, now, would he be your top choice? Probably not. But, I mean, if someone went down during the game, you know, and you needed another body to go out there and cover whatever, I think he could do it still. I mean, he's a physical player, Dave.
No question he's a physical player. I'm with you. For me, it's a speed question for Will Gay now.
I just want people that know where they're supposed to be. A lot of times it's not the first man down that makes the tackle anyway, right?
Yeah, no, I think you know, we'll find out if Will Gay's just fast enough to stay in the NFL, not just on special teams, just period. Is he fast enough? Because he's certainly smart enough. He, as you say, certainly physical enough. Is he fast enough to continue to play in the NFL? It's going to come down to strictly that. And you know what? We saw Will Allen stick around for a couple of years because he was way smart. And he was knew where to be all the time, and he would never be out of position. He wasn't going to get beat that way, and maybe that'll keep Will Gay around this year.
Now, if he loses his spot out, and it's because of a good situation like Cinquez Golson just, oh, wow, Cinquez really rebounded and is living up to second-round potential, and, oh, this is the guy that we thought that we drafted a couple years ago. Oh, hell yeah. I mean, you're going to have to give him that spot. But will we really?
I'm begging for that storyline, by the way. Of the storylines, you know, going into camp, that's what I'm rooting hard for.
The thing is how much will we, me, you, Alex, you know, whoever, be able to visually see that during training camp and OT?
I think, when we're up there, you know, you get to see the reps, you get who they get to run with. So you get a sense of it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely going to have to make some plays and his under. I mean, I think Colbert laid it out good. This guy's missed two years of football. And, I mean, yeah, Sean Spence beat the odds, right? Sit out first 2 years and you come back and contribute. But how many times around, I know somebody recently wrote us and say, didn't Greg Lloyd miss his first 2 years with injuries? Well, didn't Greg Lloyd, I mean, at least see the field some during one of those years, you know, but even so, how many years ago was that in today's NFL? You know, how likely is it for a guy to completely miss? I'm talking completely miss preseason, regular season, playoffs, all of it, and come back and contribute in his third year. I mean, it really would be a rarity. And, yeah, I'm rooting for the storyline to happen. But, I mean, let's face it. The odds really are against Cinquez Golson right now for sure.
I don't know if I would put it that – I would slightly disagree with that. I don't think he has clear path to the roster like he obviously would have 2 years ago. But if you told me to bet on Golson, Allen, or Gay, I might put it
– it depends on the odds, right? I mean
– I might put it 50% on Gay, 35% on Golson, and 15% on Allen.
I would put it less on Golson than any of them, to be quite honest with you.
You would, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
And, you know, will Gay make it? I mean, I don't know. Look, I'll tell you this. You know, we went back to several weeks ago ahead of the draft. We were talking about of the three players, Darius Heyward-Bey, Arthur Motes, and William Gay, that are least likely, which one of the three – or which one of the two?
Name them the order and their position security.
I would still put Gay last.
And I would still put Motes first. Right?
You're saying most secure. Motes would be your most secure, and I'm saying that Gay would be my most secure.
Oh, Gay would be most secure. I think Arthur Motes is on the team. I don't...
Look at this thing. I mean, honestly, David, what do you feel Arthur Motes provides this team? I love the guy. He is
everybody loves the guy. That's no question, high character guy for sure. He is a core special teams player, and he's Bud Dupree's backup.
How big of a core guy is he? Who would you rather have running out there on special teams under two, Arthur Motes or Anthony Ciccolo?
That's a good question because Ciccolo is a good special teams player.
He's a better one than I thought he'd ever become. I'll tell you that, talking about Ciccolo.
Yeah, and the question is, and I'm uncertain about this because, you know, look, we talk about both these guys as being just the guys, and that's essentially what they are. The question is there upside with Ciccolo at that edge position? I know people loved him two training camps ago. We never saw any of it 2 years ago. This training camp, you know, he didn't flash much. He was okay. He made a couple plays when he was on the field. He's made some special teams plays for sure. So that's why I think it's going to be a tough road for Keon Adams to make this team. He's going to have to beat one of those guys out. And I guess I'd ask you today, let's ask you this. If there's one spot today, if you were going to guess, one spot for Ciccolo or Motes, who do you think is ahead of the other guy?
I'm giving it to Ciccolo. I'm going with the younger guy, the better
– cheaper guy?
The cheaper guy, the better special teams player. Look, Motes at one time I thought was a decent special teams player, but I don't think he's that guy anymore, and I don't think Danny Smith thinks he's that guy either. I think Motes was out there kind of later in the season because Ciccolo was dinged with that ankle injury and everything else. I think this team is hoping – that Ciccolo takes another step this year in his development. If they can get anything out of Keon Adams as far as this guy looking like he can learn something in addition to being something on special teams, which you want to know something that's interesting. Let's go back and see what Keon Adams' past is as a special teams player because his spark number is off the roof. You want to talk about a guy that I don't even have to see his tape in the seventh round. I'd look at that spark number and I'd say it's a magazine pick. You know, you just picking guys out of magazines based on measurables, and I could have done that, I think, with Keon Adams. So, you know, if this guy can give you anything as far as, you know, potential and special teams, I'm waving goodbye to. Because also, look, what let's say Ciccolo's not the guy, David. All right, and let's look, and I hate to do this because Kevin Colbert would tell me I don't even know if I'm going to be here in 2018. Let's look ahead to 2018. Who are your outside line? Who are you guys that you know are going to be on your roster in 2018 at outside linebacker right now?
Dupree and Watt. I mean, that's it.
All right. That's it, right? I mean, what are they going to do? Draft my seven edges next year?
Well, they're going to draft one. You know, the first three rounds, you're probably taking an edge.
I'm just saying that don't go out and buy an Arthur Motes jersey right now.
So we covered those two guys aggressively. You know, I'm telling you, the way some of these picks broke down.
You're saying don't go get a William Gay jersey either.
Well, I was going to go the third guy now. I was going to bring DHB into the conversation. And as much as we love what he's done, I cannot see. Here's the thing, and this we've seen Darius Heyward-Bey on the field as a receiver. We saw Darius Heyward-Bey be a starting receiver for the Steelers this past year. There was a point, it didn't last long because he hurt his foot, but he was the starter on the depth chart at receiver. Okay, I cannot see a scenario where that happens again. I mean, with Bryant back and Smith-Schuster in the fold, Darius Heyward-Bey should really never see the field as a wide receiver. You know, if Coates is on the team, they bring some of the same skills. He's not going to be in the slot. And, you know, Martavis is going to be on the field all the time. And Smith-Schuster is going to be a guy who can block like Darius Heyward-Bey. So he should work in there to take that spot. And with some of these other guys playing special teams, you know, who would you rather have as your sixth receiver? Now, again, we're going to like it's going to be a contest, a beauty contest. Is DeMarcus Ayers, Darius Heyward-Bey?
I think when it comes to DHB, I think you need to strip the wide receiver position from him along with a few other guys. I think it comes
Ciccolo.
Down. Yeah, I think it comes down to, okay, which guy is Danny Smith pounding the table to have regardless of position? You know, forget numbers at this point. Forget what Darius Hayward Bay can or cannot give you as a wide receiver. It doesn't matter. Is your special teams coverage better or the best it can be because DHB is part of it? And I think that's where you leave it at that with DHB.
I agree. He will, you know, Danny's going to get to pick on a couple guys, and whether it's Keon Adams and Chicolo or, you know, the 11th defensive back or Fitz Toussaint for whatever reason. If somebody says, you know, this guy's dynamite special teams guy, we need to have him. And unfortunately, you know, somebody's going to get injured in training camp and a spot will open here or there, but. Okay, so let me just step back a little bit, Dave, and ask you the question of
re-rank those for me real quick. Of which you know the three of Motes, DHB, and
for me, the most secure on the roster is Arthur Motes. I would put him first, and now DHB has fallen into a tie with William Gay, as opposed to Gay stepping up into a tie with DHB because. You know, a wide receiver spot got taken over the weekend. So one of those spots got taken. So, you know, for me, Gay's going to have to make the team as a safety special teams guy, and DHB is going to have to make it as a special teams guy. They are both way less likely to be seeing the field now than they were before the weekend.
Are you hedging on me?
Some people like that. they like that conversation on Friday.
You're hedging on me. You're putting people in ties now. You can't do that. You got to rank them.
All right. I got Motes first to make the team. Who am I? DHB second. I don't think either of them are going to make it. But DHB second, Will Gay third. But both well below 50%.
I would rank them Gay the most secure. Probably Motes second most secure, and then DHB, because I think when you find yourself down there in that last category, you're more susceptible. So, all right, what are the chances all three aren't on the roster?
That's pretty low because they're all special teams potentially guys. I mean, I would put it at 15% that all three are not on the roster.
All right, yeah, that's fair enough. Okay, DeMarcus Ayers, his spot no longer guaranteed. Alex made a great argument as to why we could possibly see sooner than later Juju Smith-Schuster take over that slot position from Eli Rogers. I mean, Eli Rogers is a great story, and when healthy, he did some nice things. But would you like a more physical guy in there that's not afraid to work the middle of the field?
2018, Smith-Schuster is your starting slot receiver, no doubt. I mean, I agree with that general premise.
I think he can do it. I think it all depends on how quickly he can, and we talked about this as well, too. Alex seems to think sooner than I do with Juju being the slot. I seem to think maybe after the first quarter of the season, assuming he's able to understand his hots. Look, I mean, you can't just throw a guy out there, him not know, you know, the offense. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
Well, that's the thing is, are they going to work him at the Z or at the slot? And because I'm sure they'll try to make it so he has position versatility, but one is going to be his primary position. And I'm curious to see if when he comes in here, you know, in a couple of weeks that the first work is done. I would assume the first work will be done outside.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, look, he's not a burner straight line guy, you know, but he is able to find open grass. You know, just the same for 20 years old, pretty far.
Advanced.
Yeah. Pretty advanced developed kid so far. And it'd be interesting to see Richard Mann, you know, try to take him to the next level with him. So, all right. Which direction we go now? You want to add your 2 cents about the long snapper?
You know, my 2 cents is this, Greg Warren has obviously been a guy that we never talk about, which is obviously a great thing. He's making you know, a certain wage that, you know, this is not a salary cap driven type of thing. And the question is this: if you think there's a chance that you have hit the expiration date with Greg Warren, you'd rather be prepared than not. And I hate saying this because I almost look at the pick like I look at the Dobbs pick. You know how you said you had kind of resigned yourself to it. If Kevin and Mike feel like, look, we're not going to be able to even get another season out of Greg Warren, let's go find the best guy. And if somebody actually said to me, you know, someday down the line, you have to use your absolute, you have to use a seventh round draft pick for a guy who's going to hold on field goals and he will never miss a hold. Now, I could assume that the second part of that is accurate. But if they tell me this is the best long snapper we've seen in a long time, and the expectation is you can keep this guy around for a long time, and it costs you a sixth round pick, so be it. Do I like it? No, I don't like it. I didn't like Josh Dobbs. I mean, same thing with James Conner. Obviously, I love James Conner. And Josh Dobbs seems like a great guy. I just didn't want those picks there. So, you know, I don't want the long snapper there. Would he have been there in the seventh round? Probably a pretty damn good chance he would have been there in the seventh round. But, I'm not going to kill him for it if they see it's a need. If he doesn't make the team, that's a problem.
Well, you didn't like anyway, and Alex and I talked about this. We tried to sell the pick a little bit yesterday, you know, trying to understand what Kevin Colbert had to say about Holby and being the top long snapper and why they, due to his size and his ability to cover kicks. Do you think there's something there that we don't know? You know, he was asked about, is Greg Warren healthy? And a pretty strange way that Colbert answered the question. Yeah, right now, yes. Is that strange, or did he? That's like,
yeah. I mean, I think we're all trying to read something in there, but it was maybe a little bit.
Okay. If he, you know, how many six round is it? Oh, is it not good?
If you could have used that pick anywhere else, where would you have gone? Positional.
Safety, maybe tight end.
Safety, inside linebacker, tight end.
Yeah, inside linebacker, tight end, something like that. And I don't think you can, you know, Colbert tried to frame it too. Is look, sometimes these sixth and seventh rounders don't make the squad. That's where I jumped off the tracks with that response, because what if they looked at, you hate to keep bringing up Antonio Brown, right? But, he was a six-round draft pick. Give me something. And that's why I took took issues a few years ago when Gerard Holloman was drafted in the seventh round. You know, okay, I don't give a crap about his interceptions, because I saw all of his interceptions, and you know, a lot of them were fortunate in interceptions, not to take anything away from. But when you looked at how this guy tried to tackle or didn't tackle, during his college career, you knew right then and there, the moment they picked Gerard Holloman, that there was no chance in hell that he was going to make the final 53-man roster. So I guess what I'm saying is, it was six and seven.
Well, the Steelers obviously didn't think that.
Right. I mean, I know. I understand that. But in my head, armchair draft analyst, YouTube.
Oh, that's fair. You were right. You were right.
Draft analyst. I thought to myself, there's no way this guy's going to, and I guess what it comes down to is, if you truly think that a guy has a chance to make the 53-man roster in the sixth and seventh round, go ahead and select them. So they obviously think that Holpe has a chance to be the guy to finally beat Greg Warren. And it'll be interesting to see if there's more to this story that we don't know about Greg Warren since signing that one. Look, they're not married to that 1-year contract.
Let's just make sure we don't have Holpe. We got enough Braden Holpe. Let's go Holba.
Holba. Okay.
You're going to get me on my show today. Really screwed up.
Yeah, Holba. If they can get this kid, if there's more there to Greg Warren than what we know. And look, 13 years in, and the knee injuries that he's had, you know, maybe something cropped up on him. Maybe his back. I don't know. I mean, it's rare for these guys to snap that long in the league, though, right?
Well, and I just, you know, go back to what, 4 or 5 years ago when they had this undrafted free agent from Hawaii who was, you know, Adonis, 6'4", 250. And they were like, you know, everybody was like, you know, this guy's going to come in and take Warren's job. And I don't even know if he made it to the first preseason game. He got cut. Warren has held off all comers. And so the question is, you know, if all things are equal, you would think they'd take the 22-year-old guy. And he is a smidgen cheaper. We'll see. I kind of think it's his job to lose now. I mean, you know, generally it's the incumbent's job to lose, but if you used a pick on him, there is some expectation there. So I guess I would call him the leader in the clubhouse, even if it's only 51-49.
Who's the leader, Warren?
The draft pick.
Oh, you think the draft pick's a leader in the draft pick? I bet against Greg Warren before with Jake Ingram and I'm not.
Is that the kid from Hawaii?
Yeah, that's the kid from Hawaii. I bet, yeah. I, you know, trick shot artist or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I'm gonna bet against. But look, I another year older. I guess at this point, at any time now, nobody should be surprised. You know, if Greg Warren's not the guy, so. We'll see. I mean, a six-round pick will look a lot better being spent on a six-round, you know, I mean, on a long snapper if he makes the roster.
Yeah. Who's the incumbent Steeler guy who had the worst weekend? Meaning, whose job went from probably making the team to maybe not making the team?
Has this guy had to been on the roster for a while, or could he be in?
No, anybody.
Well, I think Justin Hunter shouldn't pack anything. I mean, shouldn't.
Yeah, I think you're right on there.
Shouldn't unpack any boxes that he moved.
Let me ask you a question on that front.
Well, Zach Mettenberger, you might as well put that.
Yeah. That's good. Zach Mettenberger, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Take your hair gel somewhere else.
To Toussaint.
Toussaint's out. I was going to do this before the draft. I meant to pull up the 53-man roster for the Ravens game at the end of the year and say which of these guys aren't going to be around next week. Maybe that's something we can do for our next podcast. Say, you know, go back and look at the 53 from the last meaningful game the Steelers played before the playoffs, and say, you know, which of these guys aren't going to be back.
LT
Walton.
Yeah, I was just going to go there. No defensive lineman drafted.
Good weekend for LT Walton. Good weekend for all the offensive line guys.
Vince Williams. I bet Vince went out.
Vince was a big winner.
He went out and bought a steak, probably.
Vince was a big winner. The backup offensive lineman, BJ, the kid, Hawkins. Hawkins going to make this team, right?
You know, that's something that we should be talking about. How do you enjoy the Steelers spending a 2017 draft pick on Gerald Hawkins?
Yeah. Well, you get a freebie, right? You get a free fourth rounder with some experience now. So that's a win on the offensive line there. All the tight ends, Xavier Grimble's got to feel good. David Johnson's got to feel good.
Yeah, you know, something about David Johnson signing that 2-year contract instead of that being a 1-year contract really gave pause. And then you turn around and you look at, you know, they didn't really bring any tight ends in for pre-draft visits. So
maybe it tells you a little more about Ladarius Green. Look, I said it going into the draft. I wasn't a huge believer in drafting a tight end, and I didn't know, understand what all the nickel safety stuff was about.
This team could have used another safety, though.
Yes, I would like to. I'd like to see them have. Tell me a little bit about the UDFAs. I know obviously about the West Virginia and a little bit about West Virginia Pitt guys. Tell me what you've seen from the rest of them, because I don't know. I don't know much else.
We haven't gone deep into the film on a lot of these guys, but I think the kid out of Georgia. Georgia Tech is probably the most athletic of the bunch, you know, and I think a guy that, look, I mean, we've seen these guys kind of kind of surprised us in the past, right? I mean, Roosevelt Nick, well, he was a futures guy. But, you know, we've seen some of these undrafted Terrence Garvin, who joined the team back when he was a tryout guy. We've seen some surprise, but when you look at this year's list as a whole, to me, and look, some of these guys are going to cycle out before we even get a chance to even know a lot of them. But I would think the kid out of Georgia Tech would give the best chance to, and I would not be surprised if he was given the highest signing bonus. Ethan Cooper, the guy out of IUP, the guard, you know, interesting to kind of watch. Francis Callen is the guy out of Georgia Tech. Keith Kelce, an undersized 6 foot, 233 inside linebacker. Be fun to watch him run around. They got a quarterback, the kid out of Clemson. He's obviously just going to be a mini camp arm. You mentioned the kids out of West Virginia, Christian Brown, the defensive tackle. Nelson Adams, a defensive tackle out of Mississippi State, undersized at 287. He better get on some weight gain real quick, 6'3", 287 pounds. Scott Orndorff, you know, the tight end, Orndorff out of Pittsburgh, you know, maybe he's a potential practice squad guy. But like I said, I think you're going to see, and didn't this happen last year? Some of these guys cycled out so quick before July 1st that we had, a new batch of these guys. So I would look for Francis Callen would be my pick to maybe have the outside chance at making, and I'm talking about a way outside chance of making the 53.
Okay, I think that's it'll be interesting to see if any of these guys, Rochelle Shell is definitely kind of, be targeted as a practice squad guy. I just don't know enough about the other guys. Orndorff might be a practice squad candidate. I don't know that he is a guy who was a decent college tight end at blocking and receiving. The thing is, he's not elite at either, which maybe actually hurts him more than helps him. I mean, he's not a pure blocking tight end, and he's not, he's more in the Jesse James mold as a big pass catching guy. He's not going to supplant Jesse James. So I don't know. I guess one of the things, Dave, and take me back 12 months or 16 months, and I was pretty high on Xavier Grimble. I don't know where I am on Xavier Grimble. He still has the athletic makeup that he's had, and he made some good catches. He made a couple good tight end touchdown catches, but he had some drops. He never seemed to be kind of fully part of the offense. Are you optimistic at all about him, or is the expiration date getting close?
He's really going to have a battle on his hands, and when you talk about guys vying for that 52nd, 53rd, position, he better do something on special teams. He better show that he can really contribute on special teams. I think his best shot is something happening ahead of him on the depth chart with an injury, to be honest with you.
I mean, he's number three, though, right? He and David Johnson aren't really competing for the same spot, but he's number three.
Boy, Johnson really had a decent year as a blocker, didn't he? I mean,
yeah. And that, so, let me ask you this. We talked a little bit about when the Steelers go jumbo. Who does that entail now? I saw somebody write, that means, Smith-Schuster will be in there on those sets instead of Chris Hubbard. We're not talking about the same type of plays if we're talking about Smith-Schuster in there for Hubbard. I mean, sure, he can block in three wide receiver sets, but when they went jumbo packages, is Chris Hubbard still a guy that they'll use in that type of situation in your mind?
I guess so. I mean, if you're not...
Or Hawkins.
Well, I mean, look, are you assuming Ladarius is going to be on the field or no?
No.
Ladarius, you're not going to... I mean, you can attach Ladarius, but how often are you going to do that, And does your jumbo include Roosevelt Nix, in the backfield?
Well, that's a good question. And I would be almost always, I love having an H-back or, you know, a fullback on there, and I know you do too. So I'm a fan of having Roosevelt Nix on the field.
I love it. I mean, I just wish we'd see more of you know, look, when Roosevelt's on the field, he's usually in the backfield, you know. Love the kid. I mean, great, great lead blocker. And because you're keeping him, though, it really makes you look at a guy like Grimble and say, how much can you give us as an all-around line-you-up-anywhere guy? And, oh, yeah, can you play special teams? Because if Green
and he did right, he played. You know, he was in those up lines some of the time, right?
Oh, I have to go back and look. He didn't stick out, I'll tell you that. But when you look at it, let's assume Ladarius Green's healthy and makes this roster, it's going to be him, Jesse James, David Johnson, more than likely, and then Roosevelt Nix. If you're keeping a fullback, there's no room at the end, if you ask me, for a guy like Grimble.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we've already given six wide receiver spots. I mean, we've made it almost a given that they'll keep an extra receiver. So that makes life tougher. They're going to keep three running backs for sure. So, you know, Fitz Toussaint and Grimble are really kind of the guys fighting for – I mean, you know, Fitz Toussaint, unfortunately, it's not going to work for him, just like it's not going to work for Mettenberger. It's not going to work for a couple other guys. But Grimble, you're right, with that sixth receiver – and when you, all of a sudden you go four tight ends, six receivers, and a fullback, that's one more spot than you anticipated.
Yes, and when you talk, going back, talking again real quickly about this Francis Callan out of Georgia Tech, that you remember I said, okay, if this team drafts a defensive lineman, it's going to be a uber-athletic one. Chris Wormley, Tano Passignon, something along those measures. Well,
Passignon went high, huh, didn't he, second round?
Yeah, he did. Francis Callan, looking at his spark score, of the defensive linemen, the fourth best spark score behind Wormley, a kid named Shaq Finlater out of Southern Illinois, Tano Passignon, and then Francis Callan. So, you know, that's why I think that this kid is probably the cream of the crop where it comes to the Steelers' undrafted free agents this year, and a guy that let's if he doesn't make the 53, I think you have to look at it, you know, and based on his size too. I mean, he's almost already there, a perfect athletic 4i5 tech at 6'5" 3/8" and 295 pounds. He doesn't have to eat too many Primanti sandwiches, if you ask me, to get, you know, probably where the Steelers want him to be. And that athleticism is there. I think he was a 1-year starter or 2-year starter at Georgia Tech. So definitely a kid. That's the guy I think to watch of this undrafted group.
Okay. I like that. Obviously, I've done virtually nothing on any of these guys. The kid from Clemson, the quarterback, interesting because obviously, as people know, Pitt has some, the Steelers have some familiarity down in Clemson with Martavis, with Taj Boyd. They've seen this kid, I would imagine, along the way, and he didn't get to play, being behind Deshaun Watson. So he'll be, you know, look, he's obviously a drink of water at 6'3", 196, tall, skinny guy. But he'll be interesting to watch just for the fun of it. There's no way he's getting a roster spot. But is there a chance he can go to the practice squad? I guess it'd still be a long shot. But he's intriguing just because he didn't start in college and he's coming in. And, you know, they thought enough to bring him in as the extra arm. So, you know, the storyline might be interesting to follow.
Yeah, he had definitely a mini camp look. You need a couple of those guys to be able to throw that thing around at mini camp.
So I didn't see, Dave, who did the Steelers had to make some roster moves because they were going to be well over the number. Did they do any of that?
Not yet. That's going to come today, I would think. You know, to make some cuts today. We'll see. It'd be interesting to see, as Alex pointed out if that. If that extra long snapper that they already had on the roster is cut loose, if he's,
I would think that's cut number one.
If Cameron Canada is not cut, then I'm scrambling for my tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They're going to be snapping balls all over the place.
Yeah, maybe he can pitch for the Pirates.
Yeah, right.
All right. We beat this thing up pretty good, you think?
Yeah, why don't we, if you want, we can do kind of 30 minutes on around the league on Wednesday, or we can just wait till Friday, whatever you want to do.
Why don't we play it by ear to see see what we're doing as far as it goes. I've done podcast Friday,
yeah, every day for
Saturday, Sunday, and now Monday. So we'll see where we are at on Monday, on Wednesday, and
just for my show today, guys. If you hear this on Monday, obviously we'll have Penguins and Steeler talk. With Dale Lawley be with me at 4:30, and Matt and I will spend our time a half an hour from 5:30 to 6:00. We will actually be going around the league. We'll do, you know, as quickly as we can, kind of look through the AFC and the NFC with, you know, more attention paid to what happened in the division. I love what I think the teams in the division did well. So just as a kind of overlook, that's there. You have my 2 cents.
All right, folks, you let me know, has the audio been better? I know we had a couple reports last couple weeks there. I think even one episode people were blowing out their eardrums trying to raise my volume, and then when David comes in, they can't hear anymore. Don't know what's causing it, but I think I have a plugin that has fixed it. I've already gotten some positive feedback, but I just want to make sure that what I'm doing is helping, and that, you know, the audio levels have evened out. So please let me know. In the meantime, please, if we don't do anything on Wednesday, we'll be back on Friday. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. A few more donations have come in the last over the weekend there. We certainly do appreciate it as well. If you want to do so, go to SteelersDepot.com and find that donate button upper right navigational bar. That'll take you securely to PayPal. David, I appreciate all your help during the draft process as well too, and look forward to keeping this thing going in 2017. So until we meet again.
We now know the core framework for the Steelers 2017 roster and potential Super Bowl run. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.